Hello and welcome to Her Ambitious Career, the success podcast for corporate women who want more from their lives and careers. Each week, we share career and leadership strategies to help you set stretching goals, own your value, build visibility and credibility, gain recognition, get paid, and confidently take your career to that next level. Whatever your ambition, let's do this thing. Now, here's your host and career success expert, Rebecca Allen.
This is episode 9, How to Progress Even If Your Impossibly High Expectations Often Hold You Back, with me, Rebecca Allen. And I am really, really delighted to be talking about this today because I often refer to myself as a recovering perfectionist. Oh yes, I am absolutely somebody who is hell-bent, if you like, to, just be the most organized person in the room, to be kind of, you know, the A-star student. And I've kind of dealt with perfectionism all my life. It's been one of those challenges that I've absolutely had. It is definitely a real, real challenge that a lot of women have, I know. But it's something that I'm continuously working on. It's something I'm very, very conscious that I do. And, you know, it's a pattern. Like most of these things, they're patterns. And we have to kind of learn how to challenge ourselves so that the behavior doesn't become all-encompassing, so that the behavior doesn't take over our lives, so that the behavior does not kind of define us. And I think one of the obvious ones for me, I share a few of my own stories of perfectionism and setting those incredibly high self-expectations, was, at school and just wanting to get the A grades, wanting to be that student who delivered, wanting to be that student who was consistent, who got into good university and all of those things. And that's where it absolutely stemmed for me. But I've really seen throughout my life that kind of setting of really, really high expectations has really framed who I am and how I've kind of, built my relationships too. And the thing that I noticed probably the most strongly was when I started having children and, you know, when I realized that, you know, that world that I lived in before, which was around running my own business and that being my absolute first baby and that just being my absolute focus all the time. And, you know, when you have your own business, it's wonderful because you can create and innovate exactly how you want to do it. You can build the business that you absolutely want. Everything is completely bespoke to your own sort of standards, to your own expectations. And that's what I loved about running my own business to start with, because absolutely, it's all about you and about you defining what it is you want and how you want to help solve your clients' problems with them. And the actual delivery of that and how you go about doing that is completely in your own control. And then, you know, my beautiful daughter arrived and I remember very, very vividly how challenged I felt in that space. I know a lot of new mums feel this same way, where you just can't deliver at that same high level in your work, as you know, now you've got this baby that is completely and utterly dependent on you. That has to be your focus. And, you know, that just sort of takes away from everything else that you've been working on and building on for you. And that was quite abrupt for me and quite confronting. Of course, it got better and got better. And I found it easier and easier as time wore on. But it was definitely a huge culture shock for me, trying to still achieve, you know, high sort of expectations for my work. I thought, yeah, it's fine. I'll be able to do both. You know, I'll be able to juggle the baby. I'll be able to juggle my work. And I soon realized that I wasn't able to do that. I soon realized that work was going to have to take a back seat for a while. And, you know, I was fine with that. But it was a really challenging number of months. It was definitely, a year where you're kind of struggling, grappling, trying to become a parent and trying to have, you know, trying to do that well too and trying to, you know, do the best that you can with that as well. So I do remember struggling deeply with that and it being challenging. But the thing that I've really realized is that concept of setting yourself high expectations, nobody else really cares. Nobody else really knows about your expectations. Nobody really kind of is aware of it, only you. And you might feel like everybody around you is aware. You might feel like everybody around you values the same things as you. But the truth is, that's rarely, rarely the case. And I think the other massive lesson that I had was when I realized that, you know, not everybody has this same sort of value set. And when you start judging people on your own value set, and they don't share the same values as you, that can really set you up for a fall, because you're expecting them to deliver to the same standard as you, but then they don't, but they feel like they've done a great job. And you realize that there is a value mismatch there. But that was another massive lesson for me. You know, I realized that we shouldn't hold people to our own standards. We really shouldn't value people on our own values. We need to kind of understand, well, how do they do it? How do they measure up? What's their version of success? And try and understand it from their perspective far more. So that's been a massive, massive learning for me. But I really wanted to talk on this today because I know it's a massive problem for a lot of women out there. I know that a lot of women find setting themselves high expectations, perfectionism, whatever you want to call it, can be really, really challenging and hold them back. And I think it's useful for us to talk about it. So let's talk about what perfectionism really sort of is all about. And for me, it's a kind of, if you imagine an inverted pyramid, so a pyramid, a triangle, if you like, that's pointing downwards. So right at the top of your pyramid or your triangle, I like to think of like labeling that with the high expectations, the highly sort of self-critical. That's what I want you to think about at the top of that triangle. There are lots and lots of rules. Have you noticed that? That there are perfectionists often have a lot of rules around how things should be. They have to be this way. And if it's not this way, then it's a bit of a disaster. And if it's kind of not meeting the standard, then it's just not right. That's actually something that's just come to me. I remember when I was younger, somebody saying to me, I can't remember who it was, but somebody said to me, do it properly or not at all. And that's really fascinating, right? That is the whole concept of perfectionism, that idea that's black or white. It's great or it's terrible. And there's nothing in the middle. There's no sort of gray area. There's no room for maneuver. That's a really interesting way of looking at it, right? Do it properly or don't do it at all. I think it was a teacher. Some teacher said that to me along the way, and it really stuck with me. And I thought, actually, I like that at the time. That I was quite impressionable, right? I like that. I'm going to try my best to be that A-star student. But as I've got older, I've definitely realized that doesn't really work in the real world. It definitely doesn't work for me because there are costs associated with trying to hit those high expectations all the time. So anyway, I digressed a little bit there. I got a bit excited about remembering that story. But the pyramid. We were talking about the inverted pyramid, weren't we? So imagine the inverted pyramid with the triangle pointing down. Okay, so this is how we're going to define perfectionism. At the top of your triangle, you're going to have, you can even write this down on a bit of paper if you like, highly self-critical, high self-expectations. This is what I do when I do perfectionism, right? Because perfectionism is essentially some behaviors. It's not you, it's the behaviors that you're undertaking to create this kind of perfectionism mindset. So think about the perfectionist with lots and lots of rules. Think about what she's doing or he is doing in that space. You're kind of flogging yourself. I kind of look at the middle of that inverted pyramid and I think, you're flogging yourself. You're flogging yourself to death over this, because when you don't hit the standard, when you don't hit the expectation, like I remember definitely being a new parent and feeling like this a lot, I've just not even kind of come close to hitting the standard, right? I'm kind of right down there in the depths, in the mud still. But when you don't hit those standards, you kind of feel frustrated. Very self-critical. You flog yourself. You kind of question whether you're good enough. You question whether you're up to this. You question whether people will, knock you back and say you're not good enough. So I think that's what happens. And then it sort of filters down perfectionism into that point of the triangle. And the reason why it's an inverted pyramid or an inverted triangle is because at the bottom, we've got that one possible outcome, which is what perfectionism is all about. It's about having one possible outcome that can be right. It's that black and white situation again, right? Either do it properly or don't bother. Don't get out of bed. Just don't get out of bed. Just stay in bed. Don't even get up. Don't even try. And that's what perfectionism is all about. And I remember actually really interestingly, I had a coaching session with a client a while ago, and I remember her saying this to me. I remember her saying, the problem is, you know, perfectionism, it's all about making progress because you're trying to get things perfect. You're trying to get things right. And I remember challenging her perception of that, because the reality is, I think, is when you have perfectionism as a kind of a mindset, when you have perfectionism as a framing device as to how things need to be, I think what actually happens is the opposite. I think you actually stagnate. I think Perfectionism is not about creating perfect outcomes or even creating any outcome. I think it's actually about tinkering around, trying to get something completely perfect, to create that one perfect outcome. Remember the bottom of our triangle. To create that one perfect possible outcome, rather than being okay with the fact that there could be lots of different variables, lots of different possibilities of what could happen. So for me, even though I know perfectionists often feel like they are perfecting by their very nature, creating the best possible outcome and therefore innovating, they're actually doing the opposite. They're actually stagnating. They're actually staying very, very still indeed, because all they're doing is they're procrastinating and they're tinkering and they're thinking, okay, what else could I do here? What else could be next? How else could I make this thing better? And actually, rather than making something really great, you're actually not making something, you know, 1 or 2% better. So for me, perfectionism is actually a very brittle strategy. It's a very kind of brittle strategy because there's no flexibility in it. There's no possibility for other creativity or other innovation. You're constantly saying to yourself, there can only be one way of doing this. And like, imagine like if you're a working mum, as there are lots and lots of working mums out there. Imagine if you're a working mum, is there one way of being a working mum that works, you know? Of course there's not. There are umpteen different ways in which working women can go to work and also have a child. You know, there are hundreds and hundreds of different variants as to how we can do that, right? It's not just one possible way. That would be crazy. So I think we have to think about, yes, you can have the high standards, but there needs to be the flexibility to adapt to changing circumstances, to adapt to, you know, creating something else that may need to happen. So I think one way to get out of that space where there has to be only one solution is to have more of a kind of a sliding scale, if you like. So, you know, we have to raise our awareness of how we're kind of doing things and what our behavioral patterns are around perfectionism and how that is either helping us or hindering our progress. So, you know, if you kind of think of like a being really aggressive perfectionist, you might say something like, you know, you're never going to be good enough, or your work is never good enough, or you're never going to be able to do this working mum thing well. That would be like a really extreme perfectionist kind of perspective. But what if, you know, you were a more gentle kind of, it wouldn't be perfectionist, you'd just kind of be more gentle on yourself. What would you say then? You might just say, look, that wasn't great, Rebecca. You didn't do a great job today, but it wasn't you. It was just some of the stuff that you did, some of the steps that you took, some of the actions, some of those decisions that you took just didn't really produce the result that you want. But you know what? We can learn from this. We can take some understanding from what just happened today and we can try and do a better job tomorrow. But we're never going for that really far end, aggressive, has to be perfect. There's only one way or the highway. Try your absolute best or just don't bother getting out of bed at all. That would be like the absolute opposite end. So have a think about this like a sliding scale. I find this works absolute wonders for me, definitely, but also for a lot of the women who come through our community who talk about this idea of perfectionism as being a challenge. So have a think about that. Like, how could a sliding scale work for me more effectively? And the thing that's interesting about that is it comes down a lot down to sort of two things. One is how you view yourself and how you judge yourself based on these metrics. And the second is how you talk to yourself, because I think that is a huge piece of the pie. It's like, do you talk to yourself with scathing blame? Do you talk to yourself with love, with unconditional love for what you're trying to achieve here? And I think we have to become more consciously aware about how we talk to ourselves, because how we talk to ourselves actually really matters. So have a think about what perfectionism is actually costing you, because truly there's always a cost. You know, there's always a cost with these kinds of behaviors. And for you, you know, it could be burnout. And for me, 100%, perfectionism is about burnout. And it's about just reaching that point where you cannot actually function anymore. It's like, no more, I can't take on any more work, or I can't take on any more juggling this kind of work-life balance thing that I'm trying to do. So for me, it's about becoming really, really mindful about what I'm trying to achieve and what success actually looks like for me. Because I think that's a big that's a big one, actually, in terms of, you know, trundling on without really having a clear understanding of what your end game actually looks like. So ask yourself, what's my end game? What does my end game look like? What does success look like for me? And be really, really comfortable with whatever you come up with. You know, you don't have to do this on anybody else's standard other than your own. And you have to just decide for yourself when you know you've had a great day. And it might be something really small, and that's okay. But, you know, it's just deciding for yourself what is okay. I think part of the problem with perfectionism is that we spend too much time looking over our shoulder, looking in front of us, looking behind us, seeing what everybody else is doing, and defining success based on other people's definitions of success. And that's always going to set you up for failure, because they're not dealing with the same stuff as you, and they're not valuing the same things as you. So why on earth would you base your own outcomes on their value system? You wouldn't. I mean, that's just crazy. So yeah, I think having that mindfulness about how you're talking to yourself, having that mindfulness about being realistic about what can actually even be achieved in the 12 hours that you have in the waking, you know, hours of the day, and looking also at your own versions of success and what that really looks like, because we don't want to be criticizing ourselves based on what other people are doing and what other people are aspiring to achieve and what other people value. That's the fundamental thing. We need to look at what we value first and decide upon our own values and our own measures of success, whether or not we've hit those targets. So I think the first thing always is to become really consciously aware about what you're running and why you're doing it. Like, what's the purpose behind it? And is the behavior, what you're doing, is it actually going to get you the outcome that you're looking for or not? Because if it's not, then it's definitely, definitely worth considering what needs to shift. And normally, the thing that I've definitely found is often when you start being kinder to yourself and you start being more realistic with what's feasible and what's possible in that time frame, you actually enjoy yourself a whole lot more. And you actually are sort of better at being more present with whatever it is you're doing in that moment. I think when you're trying to do everything and be everything to everybody, as a lot of women do, and you're finding that that's impossible, then we have to redefine what's okay and what's that end game for us. And once we do that, it all becomes a lot easier. So thank you so much for joining me. I really love talking about this topic. We really have only just skimmed the surface, and I'm sure we'll return to it again in another episode in our podcast, Her Ambitious Career. If you have any thoughts, I would love to hear from you. You're welcome to join our Facebook group. We have a Facebook community called Career Success for Ambitious Women. You are more than welcome to come and join us. It's a free community. We have all sorts of things going on in there every week. There's inspiration, there are ideas, there's career problem solving. But yeah, come and find us on Facebook groups, and we'd love you to join. I also would love to gift you, ironically, the Perfect Pay Rise script. We've been talking about perfectionism and high standards, but the Perfect Pay Rise script is actually a strategy that will help you negotiate your next pay rise with so much more ease. The number of women who I see struggling with salary negotiation, and you really, really don't need to. I promise you, it can be a lot more straightforward. So there's a strategy in that document to help you just make the whole process so much more simple. And of course, there are some scripts in there as well that you can just follow. So if you want your copy, go to the show notes, grab your copy of Rebecca's Perfect Pay Rise script. It's awesome. Honestly, I've used it so many times over the years to help women negotiate better salaries, and it's such a successful tool. You can also just visit rebeccasfreegift.com and you'll get it straight away. So I will love to speak to you very, very soon. You have the most fantastic week. I love joining you for our weekly podcast, and I will see you really, really soon.